Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, it's Election Day. We've got a very, very important election question for you, okay? 946-0435. Call in and vote. No, it's not that question. Here's the election question, Nathan. You ready?
I'm ready. Hit me with it.
Should James Franklin be fired?
No.
You knew that question was coming, didn't you?
I didn't know it was coming, but I have
should
an obvious answer.
Should James Franklin be fired? Now, if you call in and say yes, I'm basically going to think you're a moron. However, there are elements of the discussion that certainly have to be addressed, as opposed to just thinking that this guy has a lifetime contract no matter what he does or how many big games he loses. 946-0435. Should James Franklin be fired? 1-14 against top five teams. 3-18 against top 10 teams. 1-10 against Ohio State. I mentioned this yesterday, Nathan. He started Sean Clifford for four consecutive years. I harped on that repeatedly for a couple years. Ohio State would never do that. No way in a billion years would Ohio State ever do that, because Ohio State's trying to win national championships. Sean Clifford, to me, that decision epitomized what Penn State's playing for. Penn State's playing to beat the people that they should beat. No real chance of beating the other people. Now, it paid off for Sean Clifford at the end. They won a Rose Bowl. That was great. Second half of his 17th and final season of college football, he played very well after getting booed against, I believe, Minnesota that year. But to me, that epitomized Penn State football. They were going to be okay with going 10-2 and just starting the same freaking quarterback year after year after year. Sean Clifford would have been benched after 10-12 games for Ohio State. Yes or no?
Yeah, it would have been like a Kyle McCord situation. Yes. Where he just wasn't cutting it.
Correct.
That's exactly how it would have been. But I mean, I understand why you start Clifford, though, because it's job security. If he knows he's going to win 10 games, obviously mm-hmm. you're going to start. Like, it's like saying, okay, listen, if you don't do something, I'm trying to put an analogy into the real world, but let's just say showing up to your job on time every day. If you don't show up to your job all the time every day, I mean, you might not be fired, but it's not going to be a good look.
Right. So, but how do you get a promotion at your job? Do you get a promotion at your job just by showing up to your job every day?
Hard work, and you got to keep working and stuff.
You got to impress some people.
You got to improve.
That's what we're going to discuss here. 946-0435. Should James Franklin be fired? If they don't make the playoff this year, people will be calling for that.
That's realistic if they don't
make the playoffs. My answer would still be no, because you owe them a lot of money. We're going to get into the finances of all this. Not only do you have the NIL to keep up with everybody else, you got a $700 million stadium renovation that nobody else has. You've been given $75 million in donations over the last 3 months by donors, zero of which is going to NIL. It's all going to the stadium. So Penn State has a battle that other programs that it's competing with does not have financially. I'm going to get to the wide receiver stuff. It's appalling. I could make a case that James Franklin should be fired for the wide receiver situation. I'll tell you the stats in a little while. It's unbelievable, the stats that I'll get to in a little while. But the issue then becomes, okay, if he doesn't make the playoff this year, people will be talking about him getting fired. Does he have to win a playoff game? Or do people talk about him getting fired? What if they miss the playoffs again next year? Because Drew might be gone. Singleton and Catron are probably gone. Abdul Carter's gone. I think there could be a significant drop-off next year. I have to look at the schedule and see how it all play out. But what would it take for James Franklin to get fired?
So in my opinion, it's going to take two consecutive missing the playoffs type seasons for him to
just be missing
fired.
Or getting the playoff and losing in the first
missing,
year.
Missing. If he goes to the playoffs and loses, they're not going to fire him. And listen, I've had long
They would owe him a ton of money that they don't have.
100%. I've had long Twitter arguments with people about whether he should be fired or not because people are up in arms after that loss. People were freaking out. I mean, it was not a good look losing that game because they should have won that game. They're up 10-0 early, and you blow that lead, and the world comes crumbling down. You don't even score an offensive touchdown. So it's not a good look one bit. But you got to realize that Franklin loses to the number one or number two team in the country every year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not losing to, you know, Minnesota. You know, he drops games every once in a while.
Is that enough, though? At some point, don't you have to? I mean, I said yesterday, the hand of God itself reached into Beaver Stadium in 2016 and allowed Marcus Allen to block the ball.
Yeah.
The hand of God. An absolute miracle.
Do you think if that doesn't happen, Franklin's still the head coach of Penn State? What do you think?
No, because the 2016 season would have been completely different.
Yes.
The 2016 season, that spearheaded the Big Ten championship and all that stuff. That was a great
season. So all Penn State fans could thank Marcus Allen that James
the
Franklin's
hand
currently.
Of God gave James Franklin his miracle. But the other thing I was going to mention is, and this is always a big part of the discussion. You've been coming here how long? 6 months?
6 months now. Yeah.
How many times have you heard me say Penn State is the 8th to 10th best football program in the country?
Almost on a daily basis.
That's all there. It's ever going to be. Now you're a 20-year-old Penn State fan. You accept what I'm telling you?
Yeah, I accept what you. Yeah.
Well, you can be pissed about it, right?
I'd be irritated, but
that's all it's ever going to be. It's going to be 8th to 10th best football program.
I would say consistently. I think they'll be outlier years.
Every now and then, sure, they'll get to a playoff. They might get to a Final Four. There's no question about that. They should with all the resources. But the bottom line is, Penn State is. I'll just go 8th. Penn State's the 8th best football program in this country, and that's it.
I wouldn't argue that at all. I think that's 100%
truthful. That's all it's going to be, with a rare exception. All right, Jerry and Bellwood, you get the first crack at it. Should James Franklin be fired?
No. But doesn't it come down to one or two answers to these questions, or maybe both? We're either not getting good enough players, which falls on Franklin, or it's the coaching, or a combination of both, which it probably is both, but being that it's a combination of both, it all falls back on them.
They develop so many players to the NFL draft. I mean, Penn State's workouts are tremendous. Their guys test off the chart. The wide receiver situation, we're going to spend 10 minutes on it. But the bottom line is one position has killed this program. One position has absolutely devastated this program. So when you say it's coaching or development or whatever, it's really not even that except for one position. It's mind-boggling how inept and incompetent their wide receiver situation is.
Well, if there's a team that you're not beating, there's got to be one of those two reasons. I mean, you either don't have good enough players, and you're talking about the wide receivers, okay, but those are players, and then you're talking about, well, next year, you know, we lose all these guys. Well, if you're Ohio State or Georgia or normally Alabama, you just reload. You know, you get other players, but. Are we not getting them? But I thought the same thing as you did. You know, when we have a lot of players from Penn State playing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that, you're saying, well, maybe it is just the coaching. But I think it's both. I mean, that does fall back on the coaches. If you have good enough players and you can coach them, you're going to win. You're going to beat sometimes the Ohio States and the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Michigans. But obviously – we don't have good enough players, and the coaches aren't doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
What else could it possibly be?
Right, and look, we can come up a lot of reasons why they lost on Saturday. Some of this has to do. I'll pin Saturday's loss on just failing in a key moment. I mean, sometimes you do have the situation. They didn't play great, but they're right there, and they're inside the 5, and the situation presented itself. I've covered Penn State for 19 years. Some of you have been here way, way longer than me. You go back to the 70s and you remember all this stuff. That's the worst situation I've ever seen for Penn State. The worst, number one, period, in my 19 years. You're inside the five-yard line, and you show complete and total gross incompetence with the play calling that they did. So, and James Franklin said yesterday he didn't interfere with Andy Koenigy. Well, maybe he should have. We blame James all the time for interfering too much. If that's the best crap Andy Koenigy can come up with, then maybe James Franklin needs to say something. And if that's the best crap Andy Koenigy can come up with, then he's a fraud. And maybe we should be talking about him getting fired. Because in that scenario, if you're a blind monkey that has been in a coma for 10 years wouldn't run the gut ball up the gut three consecutive plays against Ohio State. That's completely and totally ignorant.
Yeah, can't argue with you. I mean, I had to listen to it on the radio because I was working. I listened to the national broadcast, and they were saying basically, not as harsh as you're saying, but they were saying the exact same thing.
I've had 3 days to come up with some analogies.
Yeah, well, Penn State is really kind of the best of the also-rans. And that's really not good enough for Penn State.
Right. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate the call. Nathan, I got to rant about this all day yesterday. You tell me what's good, because I opened the show. This is how I opened the show yesterday.
All right.
What the hell is Penn State doing? Because I said that's probably what everybody in their living room was yelling at the TV when they just decided to run Catron Allen three times up the middle. So you tell me what's going on in your mind during that two-minute stretch.
During that two-minute stretch, the first two times, I'm like, okay, listen, this isn't working. Let's get – I was thinking, like, that play action call they ran on fourth down. Like, you run at that third down right there. You because maybe they're expecting you to get a yard and try to sneak it in or something like that. That might be the philosophy of Ohio State. I'm like, you run the play action now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have two chances at it. You just Drew doesn't throw an interception. That's all it takes. They run up the gut again. You know, you see that big offensive lineman in motion. You're like, come on.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. You ain't pancaking dudes against Ohio State.
That's right. Then you do it a third time.
Third time's like, okay. It's a joke.
They did it a third time, I knew they were going to lose. Because at that point, you've given yourself no leeway whatsoever. Yeah. And at that point, Bo didn't come onto the field. There's a lot of things going through your mind. Bo didn't come onto
the
field.
That's my biggest gripe with this entire game is Bo.
Let's get into that a little bit later on. Because the complete misusage of Bo Prabula – who very well, not that he should start over Drew, but could have added something to this game. But so finish up. So they miss it on fourth down. What's going through your mind?
Game over. I thought maybe they get the ball back, but they're not getting down there. They haven't done.
No.
It took a fluke play from Tyler Warren to get inside the 5 yard line.
Correct.
They're not going. Second that happens, it's like, okay, listen, barring a miracle right now where they get a three and out, or they only get one first down here and they get the ball back with 2 minutes left. I mean, they're going to lose this game.
I feel like I'm a lone voice in the wilderness. You may disagree with this. I think the Penn State media that's been sucking at the guy's teat all year long, I think Andy Kotelnik is a fraud. I think he's a complete fraud. I think he plays a gimmicky offense that worked in the Big 12 when he didn't have as good of players, and you've got to come up, you've got to pull something out of your ass to work against when you're playing better players all the time. I've been a coach, granted, just at the youth level, but I know when I'm going up against a team that has better players, I got to pull something out of my ass that's going to make it work against better players. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But he's never been a coach at a program where he's got good enough players.
Yeah.
And so his whole mystique, everything he does on offense is, let's see how cute we can be. Because all this movement, all this player movement, all this stuff, you know, you've shown your hand with Vega Ioane three weeks ago with the pancake and everybody fell in love with it. That stuff's not going to work, as you said. So to me, this is so dangerous territory now because, yeah, they're going to beat some other people. And so they're going to beat Washington. They're going to beat the rest of the dregs on this team, although Minnesota is still very dangerous,
yeah,
I think.
Minnesota's a solid team right
now. And I'm afraid that people are going to be like, well, see, Andy Kotelnik, this is going to work in the Big Ten. It's not going to work against the best teams. It's not. You're not going to line up and pull off this gimmicky stuff against the best teams.
I thought he didn't do enough. I thought he didn't try that gimmick. Like, Tyler Warren wasn't at
something,
quarterback.
Whatever you do. Give Tyler Warren. Do something.
I think if you had Tyler Warren back there for more than what? I think he took one snap. Did he take one snap at quarterback?
Every team has 10 two-point conversion plays. You got one that you, it's in the back pocket. It's like the national championship's on the line. We need a 2-point conversion. This is our number one play. Mm-hmm. Then you got number two. Then you got number three. And a guy like Kolarinki, as creative as he might have 30. That's the stuff you run right up the gut and then a little hurried pass over the middle because Tyler Warren wasn't open. They didn't try anything. They didn't try anything.
You so run that play one time, in my opinion.
Yeah, the guy.
If you want to run it two, it's bold, but I wouldn't do two. You run one, then you go into that bag where it's like, this is a must score. Like,
he panicked.
Yeah.
And so do we criticize James Franklin all the time for interfering too much with the offense? Yes. Maybe he should have there if in fact he didn't. All right, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Jason.
What's up, Jason? How you doing, buddy? Should James Franklin be fired, first of all?
So, eventually. not this year, but, I mean, I kind of agree. He's got the two years of missing the playoffs. Maybe if he backs in to the playoffs and then loses that game, you know, the first game, and then the next year they miss the playoffs with, like, a 7-win season or something. I could see that being enough. You know, maybe he didn't miss the playoffs 2 years in a row. But I don't think the nugget I kind of took out of this, Andy Klimicki as an offensive coordinator has only failed to score a touchdown twice in his whole career. Both against Jim Knowles.
Yep.
And that to me is just like, does Jim Knowles just have his number? And that's no excuse. It's just, you know, you got to beat the best to beat it. So, you know, how does Jim Knowles know how to, you know, stop everything Andy Klimicki has to do? Not that, I mean, he should have scored a touchdown at halftime.
Correct.
The receiver literally just.
Yeah, unbelievable. The answer is.
That play's unbelievable. That's a fluke.
That was great. The answer is Jim Knowles has phenomenal players. That Caleb Downs dude.
I told you if they take Kyle Warren out of the game like that, that's how they're
going to beat him. JT is still in college football after owning Penn State 2 years ago. I mean, they just have great players.
Yeah. But, you know, losing that interception at halftime, that should have been a touchdown. The receiver just basically dropped it.
Yep. Well, I mean, yeah, kind of. And the dude made a great play. All right, Jason, I appreciate it. We got a couple more people on the line here. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hey, you're with me. Go ahead. Hello. All right, maybe they hung up. Clarkster, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, doesn't Franklin qualify for a bonus? And if the bonus is 10 or more wins and getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, he'll get the bonus. They're going to win 10 games. If they don't win 10 games, so, maybe he should be fired this year.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, what did they do? That first down play at the goal line was the first down play of a lot of series.
Sure. I'm okay with doing it once. When you do it a second time, it's like, what are you doing? When you do it a third time, you're incompetent.
There may have been something here if Franklin overrode the call that they wanted to try to shove it down Ohio State's throat.
He said he didn't. He said yesterday, whether you believe him or not, I do not. He said yesterday he didn't interfere with the play calling.
Okay.
And if that's the case, Nathan, I want you to chime in on this as well, Clark, you as well. If he didn't interfere with the play calling, and that's all Kolarinki came up with, do you think James Franklin trusts Andy Kolarinki anymore? Because James Franklin is the one who we're talking about getting fired today, not Andy Kolarinki.
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
If you look at the yard,
Nathan, if I let you host a show and you come in here and completely ruin the show and I get fired, I'm pretty pissed at you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pissed at you. Okay? If I just give you hands-free rein to do whatever and you screw it up, yeah, I'll take some ownership because I let you do it, but ultimately I'm going to blame you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. A
couple of thoughts you brought up in the past here. You just trashed the rest of the Big Ten yesterday by saying about their schedule. I mean, you're basically trying to reconference all the schools into basically an NFL version.
That's not true. I'm saying their schedule for the rest of this year is Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland.
There's different tiers in the Big Ten.
Look.
It's different tiers.
Look, if If they were playing at let me be very clear here. If they were playing at Minnesota, if they were playing at Minnesota this week, I'd pick Minnesota. If they were playing at Minnesota this week, coming off the loss, my pick would be, I don't care what the line would be, because that would be the perfect scenario to fall apart the next week. And I think that Minnesota game is dangerous enough. Purdue is an absolute train wreck. Washington is not going to be able to handle Penn State's physicality. And then Maryland, that's Penn State's little brother.
Well, see, that's the physicality issue here. We can't handle the Ohio State physicality. They couldn't get around the ends. The yardage that they got was on the Warren 33-yard run.
Yeah, sure.
And basically the quarterback ad-libbing and going up the center.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, Drew did a good job taking off and running.
He stepped up.
That was actually impressive.
Very, very impressive there. I'll give him credit there.
Mm-hmm.
They got 42 yards out of the two running backs. Neither of the running backs could go wide.
But that's not unusual at all. I gave the stat the other day. Saquon had 43 yards against him in 2017. Miles Sanders had 42 against him in 2018.
Yeah.
No running back their running backs hadn't combined for more than 70 yards against them in the seven consecutive losses. So again, none of that's new. That's just an annual tradition.
Well, the trick plays aren't going to work down by the goal line. You don't have that much, you know, turf to work with. You can't spread them out that much down there. That's the problem. And they're quick. You know, they got less distance that they got to cover on the defensive side. And their D-backs were right up, you know, on the wide receivers.
Yep, because believe me, we're going to spend a lot of time on the wide receivers. Thanks, Clark, sir. Hey, one more before we take a break. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Altoona.
What's
How you been?
How you doing, Jim? What's going on, buddy?
Well, I haven't smashed no TV in 3 weeks, so I'm feeling pretty good.
All right, Jim. Now, look, I'm asking this question facetiously. Should James Franklin be fired? The answer is no, but
no.
There is room for discussion here about what the program needs to do to get to the next step.
They need receivers.
Everybody wants to keep stealing my subject, Nathan.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Didn't he throw two interceptions when he was down in the 20?
Aller.
My wife was telling me he threw two interceptions.
Aller threw one interception. He threw one interception in the game. And it was
a crazy play. Free play.
That's one of the great interceptions you'll ever see by that dude making. I don't blame Aller on that, but it was unfortunate because that cost him points.
It was a good ball. I mean, you put it where it needs to be. It just
real good ball.
Unfortunate bounce.
Who was the receiver there? Was it Trey Walls?
Trey Walls, yep. Okay. I think so.
Go ahead, Jim.
Like I said, I still think they need receivers.
All right, so let's get into the receivers. I'm going to take a break. Jim, be sure to listen for the next 10 minutes. I got some crazy statistics for you on the gross incompetence of the Penn State football program when it comes to wide receivers.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J.P. Unimart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J.P. Unimart. That's right, I've been at J.P. Unimart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J.P. Unimart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J.P. Unimart.
Apply online at jmpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Ah, great credit to the Pacific Coast Bakery. I think that's one of the great radio commercials I've ever heard. There's no words in it other than Pacific Coast. Bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. That's how you do a commercial, man.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm bopping every... You look over here, I'm vibing every single time.
Every time they play that commercial, we're in here singing it. That's a brilliant commercial. You don't have to mess around with it, but you just get your jingle out, and that's it.
That's how you sell product, baby. That's how you sell it.
Okay, so the wide receiver situation. I do feel a little guilty about this, Nathan, some, for this particular reason. I'm very self-aware. I know what people think about me, whether it's right or wrong or agree or disagree. I'm cognizant of what people think that, Geiger, you're just harping on one subject all the time because James Franklin embarrassed you last year about throwing the ball deep. But the bottom line is Penn State's wide receiver situation is a complete and total joke for the second consecutive year, and it's killing the entire program. And I can't understand how somebody, and Nathan, you've heard me say, I think James Franklin might be the best CEO in college football. I think he's a brilliant guy. I think he's surrounded by a lot of really smart people. They don't have the most resources in college football, but they've got a ton of resources. And you have let, for the second consecutive year, one position on the field kill you. It's like complete gross negligence that this has been allowed to happen for a second year in a row while Drew Aller is there. If Bo Prabula were your quarterback and you had been preparing for Bo Prabula for a couple of years, a running quarterback, a running system, that kind of stuff, if that's the offense you were running, and everybody knew that you're going to run this gimmicky, crazy offense and blah, blah, blah. Sure, I can understand why quality wide receivers would not want to come to Penn State. But a few years, 3 years ago, all the coaches on the Penn State in the Penn State program could go around the country telling any high school recruit, we've got the number one pro-style quarterback recruit in the country coming. Number one. Drew was number one. The number one pro-style quarterback recruit in the country is coming here. Come on with us. Let him throw you the ball. We're all going to be stars together. And during his 2 years as a starter, it's been a complete crap show from top to bottom. I don't understand how smart people with a lot of money could let themselves be destroyed by such an egregious oversight. Here's the numbers. This is from Tyler Donahue from Lions 247. Everybody ready for this? Since 2022, Penn State has signed 10 high school recruits, 10, who either played receiver upon enrollment or have since transitioned to wide receiver from another position. 10. Redshirt sophomore Omari Evans leads the group with 385 career receiving yards. No one else has reached 80 career receiving yards. That's impossible. That's an impossible statistic in college football.
Especially with how football's played nowadays, air raid. And that's what they're trying to do when you bring in Drew Aller.
10.
I know.
10. And your best dude's at 385 and no one's else over 80. And I got to find the other Tyler Donahue tweet because it's about Jeremiah Smith. Listen to this. Combined Penn State production from those 10 high school recruits since 2022. Folks, this will blow your freaking mind, okay? 10 dudes, 498 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns. One dude from Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith, whom you heard during the broadcast, Gus Johnson, this guy could be the greatest receiver of all time, kept saying. Jeremiah Smith, this year, 678 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. Let me repeat that one more time. Penn State's 10 receivers, 10, 498 receiving yards, and most of those are Omari Evans, 5 touchdowns. Ohio State's one freshman, Jeremiah Smith, 678 yards, 8 touchdowns. I cannot fathom, I've got some theories I'll tell you in a sec, but I cannot fathom how it has gotten to that point.
I don't understand it. Now listen, Jeremiah Smith, in my opinion, I'm riding the train with Gus Johnson. I think he will be one of the greatest receivers that comes through college football and maybe even the professional. He can hand the gold jacket already. Barring injuries, this man's going to be unbelievable. So I get it, you know, in 7 games or 8 games, whatever they played, he's destroying their numbers. And that just shows you how good he is, but that just shows you also on the flip side how bad this Penn State receiving core has been since 2022. We're talking 2.5 years right now, and your top guy is 385 yards. If you told me the third guy had 385 yards, I'd be like, all right, that's fine. Top guy, how many touchdowns did you say, like 3 or 4?
All 10 of them together, 498 yards, 5 touchdowns.
That's
Jeremiah Smith alone, 678 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Altoona High School football might have more passing yards than that receiving core does. That's insane. That is unbelievable, and I cannot.
While Drew Aller was going to be your starting quarterback, what are they telling these kids?
I don't know. I don't know. It's, I can't say it. I'm speechless because I don't understand what has happened to them. What has happened to these guys?
Okay, so let's backtrack a little. So Taylor Stubblefield coached Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson was fantastic in college. He's been a giant bust in the NFL. He's a first-round pick. He's on his second team. He has been a big bust in the NFL for a first-round wide receiver. But he was tremendous in college. And Taylor Stubblefield, the former great receiver himself at Purdue many years ago, he coached the wide receivers for a couple years while Jahan Dotson was there. Okay, so the scuttlebutt I can tell you is, from what I've heard, and it's hard to ever know fully what's going on in these kinds of situations, but this is what I heard from inside sources. Taylor Stubblefield didn't work hard enough. He didn't work hard enough. He didn't get out and recruit very well. He didn't work hard enough at the job. And whether that's true or not, maybe we'll never know. But to be a college football coach today, man, 100 hours a week. You know,
you're
recruiting all the time. You're looking at NIL stuff. You're recruiting your own roster. You're looking at other kids' teams' rosters. You're looking at high school kids. And from what I could gather, Taylor Stubblefield didn't work hard enough and just didn't have – the personality fit within James Franklin's group. And hey, if that's the case, I don't blame James Franklin. If he needs the guy to work harder, whether or not he could develop these guys or not, well, he developed Jahan Dotson. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Jahan Dotson was just great and could have been developed by anybody. But at least Taylor Stubblefield was a great receiver himself. James Franklin was a quarterback. Taylor Stubblefield has been a wide receivers coach, and he at least had a little bit of a track record. So they fire him, personality fit, blah, blah, blah. I blasted this hire when it happened. They hired Marcus Hagans from Virginia. I wrote a couple stories at DK Pittsburgh Sports when this happened. Marcus Hagans' recruiting profile was horrific. One of the worst recruiters in the ACC. Now, you can couch it with this. He was recruiting to Virginia. How difficult might it be to recruit to Virginia? Sure. I understand that's probably it's a very different thing than recruiting to Penn State or obviously in Ohio State. But his recruiting profile was horrific. I mean, he had landed nobody. He was like 90th to 110th in the country in recruiting. While Terry Smith and Phil Troutwines and Jawan Siders, they're in the top 10, 15, and 20 in the country. These are elite recruiters from Penn State. This was a horrible hire. Marcus Hagans, since he's gotten there, has done virtually nothing as a recruiter, okay? And you're not seeing any on-field development. KLS got worse last year. KLS ended up with 57 catches, give or take. He was so bad, they didn't even throw to him at the end of the year last year, the last two or three games. Now he's down at Auburn. So you went out, you fire a guy. Because maybe, and again, if James Franklin didn't think he was working hard enough or it wasn't a personality fit, this is the reality of jobs. When you have to spend 100 hours with people, you'd better be around people you like. You'd better be around people that you get along with. And if you either, one, don't get along with them, or two, you don't think they work hard enough, then they're going to be gone. And from all indications that I've ever heard, that's why Taylor Stubblefield was fired. It's not like he was a great recruiter either, but he was way better than Marcus Hagans. And again, he had worked with Jahan Dotson. So you bring in Marcus Hagans, and you're thinking, oh, now we're going to get Dante Cephas. Yeah, there's the guy. My God, that's one of the worst transfers ever for Penn State. The guy was a complete non-factor. And along that, Malik McClain, a former four-star recruit, comes from Florida State. He was a non-factor after the first two or three games. So, while Drew Aller is your quarterback. Nathan, I feel like I want to bang my head against a brick wall here, but as I'm playing out the background of it, what do you think went wrong there?
I don't know what went wrong, but maybe it's just he can't develop anybody. That's the only explanation I could have, and I mean, the proof's in the pudding whenever you don't have any production at the wide receiver position. So why would you bring him in? He obviously didn't have a track record before.
He had been a pretty decent developmental coach. In all fairness to Marcus Hagans, Virginia had had some guys that had had some level of success for Virginia. Okay, again, it's Virginia. It's not apples to apples. Yeah, it's not an apples to apples comparison. But he'd shown some progress, and he had connections, allegedly, to the DMV, the fertile recruiting ground in the DMV. It hasn't produced jack crap for Penn State. So not only do you fire Taylor Stubblefield, you get a worse coach, a worse recruiter. I could go on and on with this.
It's baffling. Is there someone out there that you'd like to see him? Like a guy that you think is an up-and-coming type guy? Or?
I wish I studied wide receiver coaches around the country. I'd never heard of Marcus Hagans. I'd never heard the name in my life until I started researching. And when I started researching, I said, what the F is this? This is going to be a disaster, and it has been. The guy has never recruited, ever. Like, you look at his whole recruiting profile, it's awful. He was one of the worst recruiters in the ACC. Now, I had some people, some various Penn State media members say, well, he had other responsibilities at Virginia. Maybe he didn't have to recruit. Well, you got to at Penn State. If you hadn't proven that you could recruit somewhere else, then you shouldn't be hired at Penn State, because everybody has to recruit at Penn State.
It's a pretty big deal. You know, the difference between Virginia and Penn State's rather large, I'd imagine. But, you know, maybe that's why Franklin was bickering with that fan, because he wanted his name so bad. Maybe he's going to be the receiver coach next year. Maybe Franklin kept saying, hey, listen, I need your name, because you're right. We did score only 3 points in the second half. You got to be the receiver coach now, and you got to develop this talent.
It's just one of those things that none of it makes sense. We can give you these statistics. We can show you how terrible it is. None of these statistics are as bad as the eye test. I'm not covering the games personally myself at the stadium this year. I was last year when you can see everything develop. The guys were never open.
I was about to say, there was zero separation.
Right. Were you at the game Saturday?
I wasn't at the game.
Were you
Saturday.
Watching on TV?
I was watching on TV.
You've been to some games, right?
Yeah, I've been to games.
Okay. When you're watching it from the press box at Beaver Stadium, you can see that guys aren't open. A couple times when they showed full view, kind of all 22 film footage Saturday, you could see that there was nobody open.
Yeah, there was a picture on Twitter that was surfacing where, like, this, he's like, listen, I know Drew Allen didn't have the greatest stat line, but this is why. Because there was zero help downfield. Like, this is what he saw 3 seconds into the play developing, is not a single guy getting a step on someone, nothing. So it's terrible. It's terrible at a program of that nature that you cannot have. I mean, really, they haven't had a guy since Jahad Dotson.
They had a great run. Godwin, KJ Hamler, Jahan Dotson. I think I'm missing somebody.
Deshaun Hamilton was solid.
Deshaun Hamilton was good. He set the career record for. I mean, they had some good receivers. Yeah.
In the last 3 years, who's going to be the most memorable out of the last 3 years? It probably is going to be Lambert Smith, right?
Well, Keandre at least caught a couple long touchdowns. Yeah. He got the 81-yard. He's in the record books for the Rose Bowl for the longest touchdown reception in Rose Bowl history. And then he comes back the next year and clearly was a number two to number three receiver.
Yeah, he did nothing. Nothing.
All right.
Again, unless they were playing freaking Delaware. That's the only time I saw him show up.
Clarkster, what's going on?
Okay, we're calling you on the statistics. Harrison Wallace, 63 receptions for 908 yards, 22, 23, and 24. So, you know, you put some things out there. Somebody's got to check them.
No, that he was not part of the 22. He was not part of the 2022 recruiting class. He would have been the 2021 recruiting class.
But this is what's on the field, and that's what you translated it to, what's on the field.
No, I didn't. I said the 2022 recruiting class. That's two full seasons of college football.
Well, you're getting the two and a half seasons of college football. You've had a wide receiver have 63 receptions for 908 yards. That group that you're talking about, there were other guys that were out on the field, and that wasn't all on Aller's watch. That was on what do you call it's watch too? That 22 season.
Sean Clifford.
You know, yeah. The eye test. It doesn't pass the eye test. You know, and the wide receivers. But part of it was the learning process of Aller, you know, or what he was told not to do, to throw the ball deep.
That is absolutely part of this discussion. So this is the chicken and the egg discussion. I got to get through this real quickly because we got to take a break. This is the chicken and the egg discussion. Did Drew Aller was he not allowed to do anything last year and thereby hinder his development significantly because they were trying to protect Drew Aller and not turn the ball over because they knew the wide receivers are bad? Or were the wide receivers bad because they were trying to protect Drew Aller so much?
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
I still continue to suggest that there was time. Look, I asked the question. I asked the speaking Japanese from Mars question early on last year. Okay, yes. I asked it. Let's see. They played. They opened up with Ball State. Let's see. 20. Let me make sure I got the right year. Okay, hang on a second. I'm gonna have to go to a different webpage here. It's all screwing up. I asked that question early on before they got to the meat of their schedule. Their schedule was West Virginia, Delaware, at Illinois, Iowa, at Northwestern, UMass. That's six games they could have been working on this stuff. Six games last year they could have been trying to get Aller experience, to get the receivers experience going down the field. Well, they didn't. They blew it. And I asked that question, I'm pretty sure, after the UMass game. No, it was after the Northwestern game, because the UMass game, to flip me off, to give me the middle finger, I think the very first play of the game against UMass was a deep throw. This was the very first week after the first game after I had asked a question. But they had time. Did they not let Drew Aller throw those passes because they were trying to break him in slowly, or did they not trust the receivers then?
Well, that also plays into your game plan, because you try to open up the field if you come across with the threat of going deep.
And even in a 31-0 victory at Iowa, Iowa had no prayer of moving the ball in that game last year.
Yeah.
They didn't try it. They didn't work on it. They didn't.
You may get the
experience
under with it. You know, with the reception, and you're going to get 15 or 20 yards out of that. The threat of going deep, the 30-yard plus, you know, pulls the defense differently, and then you get the under, you know, throw.
All right. I'm going to cut this off because I got to take a break. But the bottom line is, this is 2 years in a row that this one albatross has been crushing to the entire program.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Martinsville Speedway. Eric Almirola goes 2-for-2 at Martinsville in 2024.
I've never gotten a grandfather clock, so to get one in the spring was huge, and then to come back here, honestly, in a situation to where we needed to win. You know, we were racing the double zero, heads up on points. We needed to outpoint the 7 in case somebody like the 81 or the 1 or the 2 won. We needed to be ahead of them, so I felt like our backs were up against the wall, and we knew that going into tonight that it was going to be a max points, try and win the race kind of day. And yesterday we did not have the car to do that. So to win back-to-back at Martinsville and to come back and do it after the day we had yesterday is amazing.
Did you see the fight, or more specifically, scuffle on pit road between Cole Custer and Chandler Smith? Yeah, those two have a history. Sammy Smith was second, followed by Chandler Smith, Cole Custer, and Justin Allgaier rounds out the top five. The championship four drivers for the Xfinity Series battling it out for the trophy. Justin Allgaier, Cole Custer, AJ Allmendinger, and Austin Hill. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is the championship race from Phoenix Raceway. Check it out Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on CW. You're on the final lap.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code WEALTH to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code WEALTH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WEALTH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, welcome back. Our show sponsored every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. Head on over there, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They show us a great deal of support for our program. We love the folks at J.M. Boswell's. And if you go over there and stop by, tell them that you heard us talking about them on Sports Central. All right, so I feel like I've been hammering a lot of subjects here for 2 days, Nathan. I give you 5 minutes. What comes to your – by the way, there's no Black and Gold Breakdown show today. I forgot to mention that with Steelers being off. They did make a couple trades, but we're, no
couple
Black
nice
and
trades.
Gold.
Couple nice trades.
Couple nice trades. We'll do those tomorrow. But what are your closing kind of thoughts on this loss? Because people are going to start to move forward now. Everybody's pissed now, but typically the way this works is by Wednesday and Thursday, the Penn State fan base, they back off the ledge. They don't jump off the building. So what are your final closing thoughts?
My final thoughts are you can't let this ruin the rest of the year, because this has happened in the past where Penn State loses to Michigan, Ohio State, and then maybe they slip up against a Michigan State, or I guess the 1 year they lost to Minnesota before they played one of the big two, I believe. But you can't let this linger. You got to realize, hey, listen, this is the first year in which this isn't going to just tarnish our season. We can move forward with this. We got to take care of Washington, because Washington's a sneaky team right now. They're playing a lot better now.
Can they throw the ball? That's Will Rogers. That's the guy from West Virginia, right?
Will Rogers is from Mississippi State, I believe.
Oh, that's right. He started for 4 years.
He's good.
He threw for like 13, 14,000 yards down there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, they were terrible.
They were terrible. Actually, I think they were solid last year. But
okay.
But regardless, I mean, that's a guy that kind of like a Luke Altmyer situation where you can't take him too lightly.
Right.
And the roster around him, I mean, it's still got – they were in the championship last year. I understand that roster's depleted, but there's still guys like backups that were on that team.
He's been throwing for 14,500 yards. That's way more than any Penn State player ever. So at least he's thrown the ball some.
Yeah. So you gotta move forward, and you gotta, like, it's like that one note mentality James always talks about. You gotta take care of what's in front of you. Right now you got Washington coming up. You can easily, I'm not gonna say easily, but you could control that game and you can win
physically.
That game.
You can beat them. Now the worry
you'll
for
be able to establish
like this,
a run game and stuff like
right,
that. Yeah.
Right. The worry for something like this was that they're gonna pull a Bowling Green or something. They're gonna come in here and he's going to, they're just gonna say we're gonna throw the ball 40 times and get rid of the ball quickly with our veteran quarterback, that kind of thing.
Yes. So let's assume though they take care of Washington coming off a loss. They want to avenge that. Following week, you go to Minnesota. It's gonna be a little bit tough game. You know, I think they're gonna win the game, but can't look forward
again. It's Purdue. I think Purdue's next.
Oh, it's Purdue next?
Yeah, Minnesota's a couple weeks away.
Okay, so then it goes Purdue, Minnesota.
Yeah, which is even better for Penn State because you got a lot of time.
You got 2 weeks to flush it all, and you can start to find a little rhythm again.
Yeah, because Purdue is complete garbage.
Yes, so you just gotta move forward with it.
Plus, this is the whiteout.
This is the whiteout.
And so you wouldn't think Washington would be able to come in here and be able to handle the whiteout.
They're not going
to
spoil it. So you're set up in a nice spot, because then you're going to be probably, I'm guessing, 6. I don't think they're going to be able to go up to 5, because it's either going to be Oregon or Ohio State's spot, barring something crazy going on. So then maybe if Tennessee continues on the straight, it's going to be a weird situation what they do with an SEC team.
The issue is this. They've now beaten no one.
Yeah. That USC win's looking a lot worse.
It's meaningless. The USC win is meaningless.
They're 4-5 now.
They've got 5 losses.
Yeah.
The Illinois game, Illinois's lost 3 now. They may lose a couple more. Your best, if you're Penn State, from a seeding perspective, because everybody was doing their projections yesterday. They were all coming out. Most people had them 8th. Now, that's a home game.
I would think 7, probably, because it's going to be either Tennessee or them.
I saw some people had them 9th. Brett McMurphy from Stadium had them 9th going to Notre Dame in the first round. Because the issue is not just the one loss. The issue is they've beaten nobody.
Yes.
I mean, they literally, again, with Illinois struggling now, Illinois's got 3 losses.
You're going to need Minnesota to keep on the pace that they're at right now.
Right. So you're going to be 11-1, and you're going to have not a single win over a team that's ranked at the end of the year unless Illinois bounces back. Does that? I always thought that would get them 6 or 7. But I'm starting to think that it actually could land them in that purgatory of 9. If 8, you're at home, but 9, now you're on the road, and it's like, okay, what the hell's going on here now?
Okay, so I actually have my full predictions for like the college football playoffs and
go
stuff there. So, okay, so one, I had Oregon. Well, this is right now my ranking. So I have Oregon at 1, Georgia at 2, Ohio State 3, 4 is Texas, 5 is Miami. Like, I don't know where Miami's
going. No, you
got to
have,
so.
But you got to have the Big 12 champion.
Oh, yeah, no, this isn't the bracket. This is just kind of my rankings right now.
Oh, but see, that doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't matter, but
I think they come out today.
They do come out today. Yeah. So right now in my scenario, you'd have Penn State at 8 right now, because they're behind Tennessee, in my opinion.
But you got to have BYU in there.
BYU would be automatically a bye. So I BYU,
but they're in the top. They're going to be in the top four if they win the Big 12. Is what I'm saying.
Yes, but Penn State,
if you've got Penn State's
going to be seventh. I'd imagine.
Okay, so you've got Penn State seventh.
Yeah. So they.
Okay, so if you throw but that doesn't leave you any wiggle room. Okay.
Any room for error. And then you think if Notre Dame comes out and they handle Army, you never know what the committee like. It's going to be weird because the committee tonight we're going to see what they think.
The rest of Penn State's schedule.
Penn State comes at 9 or 10.
If the committee's got Penn State at 6 or 7, that's fine. That's good.
I think they belong at 9.
If they've got him at 9, because again, it all comes down to who you play. Again, basically, Penn State needs Illinois to go on and finish like 9-3, or 8-4 even. They need Minnesota to have a really good finish, but beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
We'll get a lot of clarity tonight on what this committee thinks of them. And I'd imagine if they keep winning, there's not going to be too much movement because I don't know who's going to be able to jump them.
Here's the other teams are going to lose too. We'll wrap things up after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks, whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet. Everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Lots of fun. We again, no black and gold breakdown show today. Everybody get out and vote, no matter who you vote for. The only thing political I'm going to say, Nathan, is that the presidential election is going to come down to Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
This state is going to decide the next president of the United States.
For sure. And I've actually seen a few people write in Tyler Warren for their president, so.
What?
That's not a joke. I'm not joking. I want to be joking, but
I'm always kind of prepared for what people might say or whatever. But that one caught me completely off guard. Did you see my reaction? It was a legit. Yes. Like, what are you talking about?
People are crazy.
But it is interesting that you view the world where you live. You view the world what's important to you and around you. But Pennsylvania is going to decide this election, because if you look at the way a lot of the breakdowns are going to go. whoever wins Pennsylvania,
the Rust Belt will.
That's well. I mean,
because like Michigan or Wisconsin, they're
obviously
very
Wisconsin.
Up in the air.
Those are all very, very important. But they kind of think they know which way they're going to go. Nobody has any idea how Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and
Pennsylvania
that's 19 votes.
Central is an exclusive vote. Presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.